We're up to Sif Chav Vav. We'll be doing Chav Vav and Chav Zayin. We begin. Im Osil Shel Shem Dvukos Yochol LaHafrida. What happens if two letters of the Shem Hashem ended up touching? The halach is you're allowed to separate them. This is not called Mechikas Hashem. The reason why this is not called Mechikas Hashem is that you're making the Shem kosher. You're not erasing it. So if you have the Shem Hashem written in a way that in order to make it kosher, you've got to scrape off a little bit, we don't call this mechika. Now, the Mishnah Brewer brings up the Noda B'Yehuda here, which is really taking us back to a Beis Yosef we have discussed already in a few different days. The Beis Yosef, if you remember, asked a stira. The halacha is, on the one hand, that every letter has to be mukav gvil. It must be surrounded by parchment. If two letters are touching, they're not surrounded by parchment, and therefore they're pasul, and you have to separate them. Well, there's another halacha that says that if, say, at the bottom of a hay, the right side of a hay, you get a hole, as long as you have enough of the hay left that is the size of the yud, we say that that is a kosher hay, because your hay is recognizable as a hay, not any other level, not any other letter, and it does have a shear of a hay. So the Mishnah Berurah, the Beis Yosef there asks, but it is bordering on a hole, which means that this hay is not surrounded by cloth. It is not mukav gvil. What do you do? He gave us two answers. His first answer was that we differentiate between the din of hek of gvil, literally, and the halacha of two letters that are touching. He says there's no need for a literal hek of gvil. As long as two letters aren't touching, that is fine. When it said hek of gvil, it was just an expression. Being surrounded by air was just as good. So the fact that you've got a hole there does not take away from the fact that the two letters there, the hay is not touching any other letter. His second teretz was, no, there really is a halach of hekev gvil. You literally must have the letter surrounded by parchment. But we differentiate between the time you wrote it and what happens later. At the time you write it, it must be surrounded by gvil. But the case of the Gemara was where a hole developed under that hay. That happened later. Since the letter at the time it was written was surrounded by parchment, what happens later is irrelevant. Now, based on that, we said that there were many differences. One of the differences was, what happens if two letters were written correctly, but then, say, a drop of saliva went and spread the ink from one letter to the other? In a way, or a drop of ink later fell on it and connected the two letters. In such a case, according to the first teretz, that is pasul. According to the second teretz, that is kosher. Because according to the first teretz, the din of hek of gvil applies whether at the time you write or later, but it means that the letters can't touch. It does not mean that you literally have to have parchment around you. Here, where the two letters are touching, does make a difference when it happened. According to the second teretz, at the time it was written, if at the time it was written it was kosher, even though later they ended up touching, it is not pasul. The Beis Yosef ended up being machmer for both terutzim, and therefore, whether we're dealing with a hole that happened at the time you wrote it, meaning you hit a hole when you were writing a letter, or two letters touching, even if it happened later, he is machmer for both of them. But that's a chumrah. He is machmer for both of them. Here in the Shem Hashem, if we are scratching off a little bit of the Shem Hashem in order to make it kosher, if it's necessary, that is mutter. If it's unnecessary, then we're doing an unnecessary mechika, and that is a mechika of a shem. So what happens if the letters of the Shem Hashem were written properly, and then later they end up touching because some ink dropped there? Here we've got a problem. Because even though Lahalachi tells us that we cannot be mashur these tefillin without separating them, that's only misafik. That's only because we're not sure, perhaps, the halach is like the first teretz. But if the halach is like the second teretz, it is totally unnecessary. And really, it's kosher. What right do we have to be mochek, something that is part of the Shem Hashem, for the sake of something that may not be necessary? Therefore, the Noda B'Yehuda says, if the Shem was written improperly, meaning two letters were touching when you wrote it, there you can scrape it off to separate them. Whereas, if the Shem was written properly, later, the two letters ended up joining. There, you cannot scratch it out. The tefillin are pasul because we are choshish for the first teretz, but you cannot scratch it off to be mashur it because we're choshish for the second teretz. What the Bir Alach allows us to do is, in a case of suffik, where we're not sure if it happened before or after, there you could be mekel, because there is a svek sveka, suffik when it happened, and then a suffik which of the two terutzim is the correct one. So once again, halacha lemaisa, the Shem Hashem, if at the time you wrote it, two letters of the Shem Hashem touched, then you separate between them, scratching some off. Whereas if it happened later, while the tefillin are pasul misafik, you couldn't do that. You couldn't scratch it off to be makshir. You're not sure when it happened, the halacha is you can't scratch it off. Now, what happens if the shem is touching a letter that comes after the shem? It is touching a different, not one of the letters of the shem. There, the halacha is that you can scratch off the part of the other letter, just don't scratch off the last thing that is touching the Shem Hashem, even though it happened later. Because you're always, what you're doing there is just scratching off the other letter and not the Shem Hashem. In fact, whenever you have a Shem Hashem that is touching another letter, what you're better off doing is scratching off from the other letter side and not from the Shem Hashem side, so you don't have to tamper with the Shem Hashem. Siv Chav Zayin. Osios v'tevos shenimchaku k'tzas. Letters where the ink already started disappearing, the ink fell off. Imrishumam niker kolkach, shetinot lo chochem lo tipa sheyochel lekrosam. If a child would easily recognize what letter it is, yamuter lahaver kulmes aleim, you are allowed to go and rewrite the letter, you're allowed to go and put ink over it again, lehitiv haktzav ulechatsho, in order to make it look better and renew it. Velo have a shaloka sidron, that is not called shaloka sidron, since it was previously recognizable even before you did that tikkun. Now the halacha is as follows. If all the ink is gone, and all you've got is like this brown background where what happened was there used to be ink on the parchment, and as a result of it, the parchment itself has turned red, that does not count. That is as if it is not there. Whereas if the ink itself with age browned, then that is still considered kosher. Even though even if some of the ink jumped off and what you're left with is a thin layer of ink that is brown, that is still kosher. However, what happens if you initially wrote with inferior ink? You wrote with ink that in no time went brown. It was not black enough. Fixing that is not called fixing it and renewing it. That is called ksiva, and it is a problem of shaloka sidron. So the halacha is that if the ink with age has turned brown, then that is not a problem of shaloka sidron. You can blacken it again. If the ink, because it was inferior, went brown very quickly, that would not be good. In fact, if you write with ink that is not black, even though it is rishumo nikar, you can tell what letter that is, but the ink itself wasn't black. It was an ink that either at the time already was off black, it was a reddish brown, or very soon after became that, then the letter is pasul, that is not considered writing with black ink.